Well, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 51 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. This episode is special in a couple of ways. First of all, it is co-hosted by some other creature instead of Sturlock. Sturlock is gone, has been replaced with the Grudge, I think. The ghost from the Grudge.
Oh, that's right. I didn't tell you. Sorry about that. We should have gone over this before. So it turns out I was going through the analytics a couple days ago. And we do have a not insignificant contingent or demographic of clickers. That listen to the show. So I'm going to be providing translation.
Right. That's a good call. That's a good call. That's you know what? In
clicker
we need
language,
to so. We need to cater to all of our listeners as much as we can. So you're doing the right thing.
Providing clicker translation. It's going to make the show a little longer, but you know.
A lot longer, really. I mean, those translations are going to be something else. Let me tell you. Okay.
No, we are not doing that.
So. We're weird and we know it, but yep. you guys know that too already. So, but anyway, two reasons that the show is a special show is, number one, we had to record this show on Skype because I decided to try out the iOS 14 beta, and now Anchor is working, but the recording aspect is not.
Oops.
Sorry about that. So we're recording the show as a Skype call, which is going to sound probably the same to you guys when it comes out, but just saying, that's what's happening. We're going to do this show in a single segment, just, you know, for that reason. But also, this is a special show because we finally started doing something we probably should have done a long time ago. It only took 50 episodes, folks. But finally, for the first time, I wrote things down.
It only took us a year.
I actually have an outline this time.
Yep.
So going forward, we will be doing that.
Sherlock,
of course. So we have a shared space where we're writing things down. So, of course, you could if something comes up during the week that you see, go ahead and put it in there. We'll you know, whatever it is, we'll talk about it. So,
yep.
That's how we'll do it. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. So. Today's show, again, doing it as a single segment, guys. Today's show is going to be primarily an Xbox show because, holy crap, there's a lot of Xbox things to talk about. And I'm actually saying that in a semi-positive way. I want you guys to know, first and foremost, I want to say before we even get started, I was actually personally happy with the Xbox presentation last week.
Yeah. A lot of people weren't, but I thought it was cool.
A lot of people weren't because of one particular thing. Seeing is mostly one thing.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. In fact, we'll get to that very fast because it's the first item on the agenda.
It was. But this thing, we got to mention first off, though, this thing was audio described.
Yeah. Oh, and about that, about the audio description there, that was, I think, my opinion, of course, the best example of Microsoft audio description for an Xbox event that we've ever heard.
It was really good.
Because the problem with the attempts before were that they were, and I hate to say this because I don't mean to like diss on live audio description. There's a great market for live audio description, but I don't think it's video
when things are happening events. When things are happening that quickly, you need a script.
That's part of it. But the other part of it is that when a person who, again, no offense to the narrator, clearly not a gamer.
Yeah.
Clearly not a gamer.
As evidenced by his pronunciation of Seagaw.
Seagaw. No, clearly not a gamer. But because of that.
He did a good job, though, regardless.
This he did a good job with. But what I'm getting at is, like, with the live stuff, since he's not a gamer, he didn't know, like, what the individual things were that he was seeing. So he had to describe based on what he was seeing. This was scripted, and because it was scripted, it allowed whoever wrote the description, who I assume is not the same as the narrator this time, whoever wrote the description did know what they were looking at.
When you see Master Chief.
Right, exactly.
Armor. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Instead of exactly. We see a
some guy
like a vague description of
suit,
you know.
Armor, helmet. Yeah, is important character. And why am I Obama now? Some guy seems to be an important character.
He's a very important character. That's kind of my rough imitation of the narrator's voice. He had a very interesting, like, speaking style.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's begin with the Xbox rundown, and we'll start, of course, the way the show started. In fact, like I said, we wrote things down, so we're actually going to be doing things in order. God. So we're starting with Halo Infinite and our thoughts on Halo Infinite.
Now, I thought it looked cool.
I thought it was all right. I wasn't like super disappointed. Like one thing that stood out to me is, oh man, it is very reminiscent of old Halo.
Yep.
Like Halo 1.
I think that's what they were going for. I mean, that's, yeah, I'm kind of happy with that.
Sure, like they brought back Brutes apparently, which they took away, I guess, some time ago. But they're back now,
yep.
And they sound basically like the same as they did in the original Halo game, which weirdly enough hit me in two places. Like it strikes me as a positive, but it also strikes me as a negative, because it's cool that these things are back, and it's cool that we can, you know, recognize them by sound. But on the other hand, it's like, but where's the thing that makes Halo Infinite stand out and be a new game as opposed to a rehashed Halo game?
So apparently that thing is something that they didn't really show that well in the trailer. Apparently it's going to be semi-open world.
Oh, really now?
And the thing that kind of gave that away was that you see him looking at the map.
That's true.
And you can go to any of those places.
You're right. Yeah. There was that. Again, very well audio described during that segment.
Too. It was.
Yeah. You're right. I do
press
remember that.
X to start.
Press X to start the demo. which, you know, it was of all the little things they did, that was actually really cool to leave that in there.
That was a neat
touch. Just kind of be like, hey, guess what? This really is happening.
The person was actually playing the game.
Yeah, this really is happening. This is someone playing this demo. So I guess we need to talk about the thing that is bringing people down, though.
A lot of people saying this game doesn't look so hot in the visual department.
I've heard not just not so hot. I've heard it looks like clay.
There's like serious pop in.
Yeah, loads of texture pop in, just terrible animation move. Like the fluidity of the animations is just awful. It's not good. And that's still a bad look, even with Microsoft's explanation of that, which is that demo was running. It was a real demo, but it was running on a PC, which they say is comparable to the Xbox Series X. Okay.
How does that make you look? That's not good. That's not a good thing.
If it's comparable, then it should be running the demo just fine, right?
Right. It should not be looking like that if it's getting... Oh, no.
Now, that said, all that taken into account...
Probably was a slightly older build, too.
It probably was an older build, but also... One positive I noticed, I'm trying to balance positive with negative here. So yeah, it probably was an older build. But when the person pressed X to start the demo started.
Yep.
Immediately.
Yep.
So that may very well have been our first glimpse of the kinds of loading screens we're not going to have on the next generation of consoles.
Yep.
So... And who knows? I hate to be the devil's advocate here, but even now, I have to say it. Who knows? That footage, this is not a live show, so that footage could have been cut and edited, and we would never know. But...
And it's happened a lot of times before, so...
Yeah. So, but, you know, I'm trying to be hopeful here and say, if that really was an example, that's a good one. It loads right into the, like, there's no loading. There's no loading.
Yeah.
The person presses X to start the demo, and it's a cutscene immediately, and then yep. the gameplay. So, yeah. So, I mean, that seems good. But that said, apparently people are saying it doesn't look very good, and that's unfortunate. So.
Yep.
Halo Infinite, ladies and gentlemen, this is your launch title.
Yeah, oh boy.
This is the big one, you know? Oof. But as we'll get into, which will be in a couple segments here, we'll get into, well, a couple of news bits here. That may not be such a big deal anymore. I mean, it is a big deal to me, I guess, but it may technically not be. We'll get into it. So, next game announced was State of Decay 3. State of Decay 3 is a zombie open world style game. State of Decay 2 wasn't all that good. So
no.
So State of Decay 1 was really good. State of Decay 1 brought the depth that people really wanted in a zombie game, where you had absolute permadeath.
I'm out of the space.
We're back. Okay. So, what was I saying? State of Decay 2. technical difficulties, folks. Don't worry about it. State of Decay 2. Sorry, 3 was announced. State of Decay 1, good game. Took the whole concept of permadeath in an open world zombie game and made it work. Like, State of Decay has a story going, but it also has permadeath, which works permadeath into the story. So if a character in the story dies, they remain dead forever. They're done. They're gone. And that's enfolded into the story. You could lose entire quest lines if you don't save a character in this open world game. Really cool concept, right?
That's pretty neat.
State of Decay 2 didn't really do that.
No.
The story is super short. I believe it still retains some of the permadeath stuff, but it doesn't matter because it's you don't lose much anyway. Like, the story's really short. It's over in like a few hours and then you're done. And there's still open world stuff to do, but it's just like side stuff. And there's no more story.
Yeah.
So State of Decay 3, I'm personally not that excited for it because I don't know if they're going to just crush the idea even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know,
maybe they learn their lesson from the second game, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's good. It's gonna be another Xbox Series X title, so maybe they'll you know, try to broaden the universe a bit. I don't know, but hopefully, I guess there's some like stuff about running through forests and stuff, and it, you know, could be cool. I don't know. So next up, next news segment. What I wrote here is Game Pass ridiculousness.
Yeah.
So this is where it really comes in. This is where the show, I think, defines what it actually is. Where the whole event defines what it really is. That's what I believe anyway.
Yep.
So what is announced at this point of the show is that every single game that you see in the show is going to be available on Game Pass on day one.
Yep.
Every single game.
Yep. Even and Halo Infinite.
Like, even Halo Infinite. Well, we already knew that. We already knew Halo Infinite was going to be available, but when they say things like, hey, we're going to be announcing like 30 games today, and then they say, by the way, every single one of them,
yep,
Game Pass day one.
That's pretty cool.
So there's an article that was written after the show was over that I read. It's from someone from The Verge wrote it, and I read it, and as soon as I read it, I agreed so much with it, and I think that it really says more about what the show really is than anything else. Microsoft's next gen platform is not
is it
the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, it's Game Pass.
It's Game Pass.
Yeah.
That is
the platform. I saw other like YouTubers saying the same thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. The Xbox Series X is a vehicle upon which you can utilize the actual platform that is Game Pass.
Which makes sense because, you know, Game Pass is, you know, recurring. That's just free money for them. Like a constant flow of money.
Yeah.
That they're getting.
That's fair, you know, but it's to, still like...
And they're enticing you to, you know...
It's so interesting. It does make sense in a way, but like part of my brain just still goes, wow, because the hardcore gamers can play a lot of games very quickly. So they're paying much less and getting much more.
Yeah.
And they might be done with those games in no time. Who knows if they'll cancel after that, or maybe they'll hold on and see what's coming next.
I'm sorry, but this is what Stadia should have done.
It probably is.
As much as I like Stadia and think it's cool, this is really the model that Stadia should have gone for.
This is the model that apparently works, but I guess I don't know enough about numbers and math, but I don't know how this model works.
Because I don't either. Like, how is it like sustainable? That's what
according
I'm
to
about.
Microsoft. This is unverifiable as far as I'm concerned, but according to Microsoft, they say that developers that have their titles on Game Pass then report higher sales numbers as well. But for my money, I don't know. I don't understand that.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Because no offense to developers, I love game developers, but if a game is on Game Pass, that's where I'm going to play it.
What incentive do you have to buy it afterwards? Because you don't need to
granted,
buy it.
Granted, yes, it can be taken down, but
maybe that's what they're saying is like that entices people like, oh, I want to keep playing this, so I'm going to actually buy the game.
Because I guess, but
they do a thing when like games are going to go off of Game Pass, they do sell them at a discount.
Yeah, well, you can buy games at a discount on Game Pass all the time. Like, I think they're always at a discount when they're on Game Pass, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess, but even
that might be
then,
where they're going with that. I don't know. But
I guess maybe that really works. Because, like, for me, my philosophy is I'll play it on Game Pass if I want to play it. But if I'll only actually buy it if I really, really love it. Because I probably will have played. You know, games stay on Game Pass for quite a while.
Like,
sometimes a year?
Like 6 months to a year, yeah.
So, I will probably have gotten out of it what I intended to get out of it.
You intend to get out of it, right. Exactly.
Unless I really love the game. So, it's just amazing this business model works, but I guess it does. And that's the approach that Microsoft is taking. So, the Xbox Series X really is. It's just a Game Pass vehicle.
Yeah.
And it might be the best way to experience Game Pass, but that's really what it is. It's just a way to experience Game Pass.
They want you so badly to sign up for Game Pass now that they actually took away
Gold memberships
for at least the year memberships, which is like, man, that's kind of...
It was an interesting choice. Yeah. But they're banking on Game Pass Ultimate, because now if you want to... You'll just get Ultimate, which will give you the equivalent of gold.
Gives you gold
plus Game Pass, and that's the real platform. Mm-hmm. My God, like
crazy!
This is just something else, dude. All right, so moving on. Forza 8.
Very, very early demo that wasn't even really gameplay. It was more just like, here's this exists.
Yeah, it's more of a hi. Like,
we're working on this thing. Here's like 20 seconds of
here's a game that everyone knew was going to happen at launch.
Here's not a surprise,
right? Because there's always a Forza game.
I mean, no, it's not going to be a launch. Like, this is probably 2021 or 2022.
You think so? I think it's going to be a launch.
No, it kind of seemed like.
It didn't have a release date, so we can't confirm this, but...
What I remember hearing, maybe I heard wrong, but I remember hearing that, like, this was pretty early in development still.
Really? Okay. Yeah. You could be right then. So
that's not going to be this year, I don't think.
Actually interesting. Because I thought they would want a Forza game at launch. But yeah, okay. Okay, well. Maybe are they really banking that much on Halo Infinite?
I think they are, honestly.
I guess they really are. I guess they really are.
Oh, going back to Halo Infinite for just half a second, there was a rumor going around very briefly that Halo Infinite wasn't going to launch with multiplayer.
But that got
shot down real quick.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
Somebody from 343 is like, no, we are absolutely.
Like, wait a minute. Hold on. No. Yeah.
Hold your horses, people.
Yeah. Right. Calm down.
Because, like, you know, multiplayer is like Halo's bread and butter.
It really is. Like, as much as people like the story, some people really love the
story. People still play
but...
Halo 2's multiplayer.
Yeah. Via the Master Chief Collection now.
Yep.
So, yeah. Forza 8. No surprise. Duh. All right.
Please so, implement accessibility features. Please.
I kind of expect that they will. Because Forza 7 did. I mean, to a certain extent. Not greatly, but...
I mean, I hope... I just like more so. Like, give us menus.
Iterate. Please.
Yes, iterate.
That's all we want. Iterate.
Yep.
Okay, so next up, Everwild. A game which, to me, still sounds really interesting. I just kind of like the explorative
concept.
We don't know a lot, but it's like the trailers seem just
soothing. It seems more like one of those like games that's not really a game. It's more of an experience,
right? Kind of like Journey.
Wow.
And this is us.
That's how you know we've been friends for way too long when we say the same
thing. Kind of like Journey. The exact same words uttered at the exact same time. Journey, Flow, Abzu, games like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that might be what this is, but still, like...
It seems like the ultimate, like, relax game.
Yeah.
It seems very chill and, like...
The thing about those games is, there probably was a time in my life where I wouldn't have been intrigued by it, but because of what happened with me and Misty and Journey... I am because, Journey, shocked both me and Misty, by being what it was and by pulling off what it pulled off so perfectly. I don't know if I've ever told the Journey story on the podcast, but basically the story, it's pretty simple. It basically goes like this. I do this thing every now and then where I pick a game that we have and I mess around with it and try to play it just for fun, just see if I can get anywhere in it.
Sure.
And I did that with Journey. I launched it, and I started walking around in the first place. There's basically, like, no introduction to Journey. You start the game, you're walking around in a place. You don't know who you are. You don't know why you're there. You don't know anything. I start doing that, and Misty asks me what I'm playing. I say, well, I'm just messing around in Journey, you know, just trying it out. Her next words shock me. They're, give me the controller. She had seen Journey and how it looked and was so immediately taken in by how it looked that she had to play it herself.
Wow.
And we sat there together and played the whole game. The whole 3-hour game. We just, right then. Like, that was not planned that day. Like, that's not what we were going to do. We didn't decide, hey, we're going to play Journey today. No. I open it up, start messing around with it, and suddenly she's playing it. And so that and the game is so well executed. And I am friends, and I can say that because he used the term to describe me, so I can officially say this. I am friends with Austin Wintory, the musical composer for Journey.
That's
because cool. of Journey.
Yeah. Oh, did you tell a story at GDC or something?
Yeah, I met him at GDC in 2014, and I immediately started talking to him about Journey and how the music of Journey is how I basically saw the game. It was how I experienced the game. Like, the music was so evocative of every single moment in the game that I was able to really, like, experience. I felt like I was really experiencing those emotions and those things because the music is so good. And we connected on that, and we've never stopped talking since then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's why I got the mention on his podcast he does with Alana Pierce and Troy Baker and Mike Bethel play Watch Listen because
nice.
We connected on that and wanted to talk to me. We had a conversation about The Last of Us 2 and everything. It's we're cool. Man. All right. So
but look at you making friends in the video game industry.
I know, right?
Going places, man.
Right. I might make something of myself one of these days.
like you haven't already.
Right. No. But that's what I'm getting at though. Everwild intrigues me because of the fact that it evokes that kind of journey-esque ideal. Like, sure, I'll experience something like that again.
Yeah.
I want to see where it goes. I'm actually interested in this. Also, another game that, this is unrelated, but another game that really intrigues me in that kind of vein and turns out to be totally worth it because it's a great game, Brother is a Tale of Two Sons.
Oh, that game's cool.
Something else. If you haven't listened to a playthrough of that, I recommend Gorilla's playthrough. He does an audio-described playthrough of Brothers.
I like how they do the whole Ico / Shadow of the Colossus thing where they
the
have
other language deal?
The other language thing.
I like that too.
That's a neat touch.
It is because you can tell they really made up all those words. Like they mean something. Mm-hmm. And you can infer their meanings from their tone. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool, man. But yeah, so Everwild, looking forward to it. There was some I'm pretty sure that if you listen to this podcast, you probably I can't say that. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw that I took it to Rare a little bit.
Yeah.
Deservedly, I hate to say it, but deservedly, because they put out a tweet that said, "Here's the audio-described trailer for Everwild. We did this because we want the blind to explore Everwild like everyone else." And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Audio-described trailers? Awesome. Full credit for that. 100%. Absolutely. Great. Grand. Wonderful. Except an audio-described trailer does not make an accessible video game.
Nope.
If you want us to explore the world of Everwild, you make the game accessible.
Yeah.
The trailer is not enough. So, I didn't get a response from Rare for that. I got a response from other people. I didn't get one from Rare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. But, you know, hopefully they have more plans than I realize they have. Maybe they do. I don't know. I could be wrong.
They very well could.
Yeah. But it'd be cool, right?
We'll see.
I'd take it.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Oh, yes. Tell Me Why.
This game looked interesting.
I'm already in. And the reason I'm already in is because I'm a huge fan of Don't Nod. Don't Nod is for those who don't know, Don't Nod is the creator of Life is Strange. And Life is Strange 2, obviously. And Vampyr. And games like that. And I love their narrative approach. It's like the Telltale games, but I wouldn't actually compare them in a direct sense. They do things the Telltale games didn't tend to do, and typically their stories are actually longer than the Telltale stories.
Mm-hmm.
Each episode is usually well over 2 hours for one of their games. 2 to 3 hours, I'd say, for each one.
Vampyr took DSP like a long time.
Oh yeah, the thing about Vampyr though is Vampyr was their first stab at a non-episodic game. Vampyr is a full-scale RPG.
Yeah,
that's why. But most of their other games are episodic, and this Tell Me Why is going to be episodic as well.
Yeah, but here's the interesting thing about that though. You don't have to wait very long between episodes at all.
No,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like a couple weeks. It's crazy. It's like a couple weeks in between each one. Like,
yeah,
it's like no time at all.
That's probably the shortest turnaround for any episodic game I've ever seen. Even there is another example of a close one, but I don't know if it cuts it that close. So I don't know if you remember Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Oh, yeah, they did release that episodically. I forgot about that.
It was episodically released, but also had a short turnaround time between episodes, too. But I don't remember if it was that short. I think it might have been, like, 3 weeks between.
It was still pretty short. But, yeah, I think this beats it, though.
Yeah, I think it might. I think it might. And the cool thing is, not only do you not have to wait long between episodes, folks, you don't have to wait long for the game. This thought was something else. Tell me why episode one releases on August 27th.
Yep.
Next month.
Heck yeah.
It will, and it's going to be available on Game Pass like everything else in this presentation. Yep. So basically no extra charge, yo.
Yep. The story is kind of intriguing too. It's like, yeah, I wonder where they're going to go with this. This looks interesting.
I mean, I like I said, I'm in with Don't Nod. I always think their stuff is typically intriguing, and this is no exception. So I'm definitely interested in seeing what this is all about. Accessibility? Probably not.
Probably not.
Because there was a time when we almost had him. We almost had him, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when it was accessibility for the blind was being discussed for Life is Strange, the original game. And apparently we had one of the programmers trying to work on some stuff. But
It was some shenanigans with Square.
Yep, they stopped that in its tracks.
Yep.
So thanks, Square, you're the best.
Yeah, this is why, I don't know, man. This is why publishers are... No, this is why self-publishing is a good thing.
I mean, if you can afford it, yeah.
Yeah.
Not everyone can, which is why publishers exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you can, can lead to good things. All right. So, next thing on the docket is the Ori and the Will of the Wisps, the second in the Ori series, getting a full Xbox Series X revamp. When the Xbox Series X launches, which we still don't have a date for, but
that was I liked this because they went out of their way to bring up the audio.
They did. They really did. Yeah, which not a lot of people are doing. Mostly Sony people are doing that. Mm-hmm. But hey, they finally talked about the audio. What do you know?
Yep.
So there you go. Yeah, they did bring up the audio. It was good that they talked about this, but really. Ori is kind of the showcase, probably because it already looks so good. Like people already talk about how beautiful the graphics are and whatnot.
I mean, it was basically a launch game with the Xbox One. The first Ori was a launch game.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, yeah.
And it came with my Xbox One. So.
Oh really? Oh, okay. Yep. I didn't know that. Yeah. So yeah, people use Ori as a kind of an example, and I think that's what this was done. That's what this was doing as well. Because the thing is. Yes, this is getting a Series X remaster, and as it should, that's a good thing. But so are a lot of other games. This is just the one they use in the show as the example. But plenty of games, and they said this too, I believe, in the show. They said plenty of games will be pumped up when the Series X comes out. But Ori, you know, Will-O-Wisp is cool. It's a popular franchise, and I'm glad it's getting retouched for the Series X. So that's cool.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh yeah, new graphics and audio. Yep. Okay. So next up was something I did not expect. I did not expect this. This is actually the part of the show which I called. I should have written this down, but I didn't. I said when I was talking to Misty about it, I said this is the part where it turned into the Obsidian show for a little while.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Because the next several things are Obsidian Entertainment things. So first up, The Outer Worlds is getting a full expansion.
I loved the trailer for this.
Did you?
It was kind of great.
What in particular?
I liked just the style of it, how they were kind of going for like a 50s sci-fi style.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay. And they did, they did that very well. And that's kind of the motif for things like The Outer Worlds, which is, you know, even though it's not a Fallout game, it's very Fallout-esque.
Yeah.
So it's kind of following that same trend in the motif department. But yeah, it's good. It's very good.
Apparently a very good game, too.
I haven't listened to a playthrough or anything like that, but it is apparently a very good game. And now it's getting a full expansion. I didn't think they were going to do an expansion to The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
But apparently they are. And not only that,
it looks big too. Like it's pretty sizable.
Yeah. And not only that, again, you don't have long to wait. September 9th.
Yep.
It's coming out. September 9th, a full expansion of The Outer Worlds. And again, The Outer Worlds already available on Game Pass. And apparently, so will the expansion be. So, wow.
That's pretty cool.
Here's some dulk, some DLC. That you don't, some dulk that you don't even need to dulk.
I don't know why. Man, that's so funny, but I do.
It is. It just is. Accept it. Okay.
And then they talked about another thing.
Then they talked about another thing in the coolest way I could possibly imagine. If you're waiting for a big game, then wait for Cyberpunk. But if you're waiting for the world's smallest game.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so good. They talked about Grounded. And we're actually,
actually out now.
Yeah.
This came out yesterday.
Believe it or not, we're actually late on this one, and the show just happened last week.
Yep.
They announced on the show, guess what, guys, coming out July 28th. Yeah, it's out now. It really is. It's out. It came out yesterday. And people are playing it, and people are freaking loving it. And it's intriguing to me because it's different. Like, for Obsidian Entertainment, it's not the same beast as everything else they made.
It's basically like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids in game form.
Yeah, and I think it has, what, four-player co-op? Up to four?
Yeah. Four-player, yeah.
But the thing is, though, Obsidian is known for RPGs.
Yeah.
And this is not an RPG at all.
They even brought that up.
Yeah, like
yeah, not we, even a little you know, bit. We usually do RPGs. Oh, by the way, we're making another RPG.
Yeah, right.
Very offhandedly, too. They were just like, yeah, we're making an RPG.
But Grounded, though, real quick, going back to Grounded before we get to that. Real quick, Grounded. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. You have to, you're one of four kids in a backyard, apparently, and you have to escape ants and birds and stuff. And you're really, really small. And it's really, really difficult. And there are spiders. And, yeah. There is, however, for those who... This is actually a thing. For those who have arachnophobia... There is an arachnophobia mode in the game. Not kidding.
You know what? That's actually really cool. That's a good.
It's really cool.
That's a very nice consideration.
Yeah, I don't know what it does though. Like, from what I understand, it doesn't make them gone. Like, it doesn't just remove them from the game.
Mm-hmm.
It just does something to them. Probably like changes. Like, maybe they're not spiders anymore.
Right.
Like the enemy. The enemies themselves are still there. Maybe there's something else. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually know. But there is an arachnophobia setting in Grounded that you can use if you have that.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Accessibility? No. Already heard from Sightless Combat who was trying to play it.
Not playable.
Can't get out of the first area if you're
playing. Which is too bad, because, man,
it sounds fun.
It sounds fun, yeah.
Just fun, yeah. But anyway, on to the next Obsidian RPG. You know, the thing they usually do.
Yep.
They are making a new RPG. It's called Avowed. And, I mean, it's an Obsidian RPG, dude. I mean, it sounds great.
Yep.
The voice acting that's in the trailer sounds awesome. It just sounds good. The little tiny bits they showed us, I mean, it's an Obsidian RPG. Every Obsidian RPG is, in my opinion, the ones that I've heard anyway, are great. Pillars is great. Outer Worlds seems great from what I've heard, based on like the little bit of gameplay I've heard. Tyranny. Missy started playing Tyranny recently. And that one, man, that one actually surprised me, because the beginning of Tyranny, you get to do like even though it's the first there's no like prequel, like there's no previous. So remember the thing in Mass Effect? Where you in Mass Effect 2 and 3, where you got that little story so far comic, if you didn't have a game save,
yeah.
And you could make choices while you play the comic out. It's like that with Tyranny, even though it's the first one. But it's also different. Like it is like that. You make choices, but you also move your character along a map and choose which destinations they go to. Basically, you're it's It's what you did during this very particular war between these factions.
Oh, it's like a, you're just like doing like a character history. That's a really unique
character history way in like board game form.
Almost. That's kind of cool.
It's really cool.
That's and, neat.
And everything that you decide, and every place that you went to, and everything that you did there is then referenced during your game as you play the story out. Like people wow. People who know what you did will reference it and things like that. You know. And the thing is, the cool thing about Tyranny is it's the game where the bad guys win. That's I actually like that concept. Like there's always the game where, you know, there's millions of games where there's a bad guy, big Emperor of Doom, and then there's a chosen hero, and the chosen hero destroys the Emperor of Doom. Well, not this time. In Tyranny, the Emperor of Doom is actually the victor, and you are a character. You're just a dude, a character, a person that now serves the Emperor of Doom. So you're actually serving evil in this game.
Wow.
You don't get a choice in that. Like you do get plenty of choices about the way your character plays out, but you are who you are, you know? And I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. Anyway.
That's cool. Tyranny.
I know there's a tangent, but that's what we do. Tyranny. Seems good. Tyranny is good. Avowed seems good. Avowed, the new RPG. Did we get...
I don't think we have a release date. I think it's still pretty early in development, it sounded like.
Oh, he said, that's right. He said, Avowed. More Obsidian. Jeez.
Yeah. More Obsidian. Jeez.
Okay. As Dusk Falls... The interactive drama.
Yeah, this looked interesting.
I love interactive dramas in concept. Like I really do. I love the concept of Erica, that game that is actually going to be free on PS Plus, I believe, coming up pretty soon.
Oh, cool.
But we can't play it, so yeah. but in The thing is, I love the concept. Like, there's a really old one that started me on my love of interactive drama. The really, really, like 1996 or 97, one of those two things. Star Trek Borg for PC was an interactive drama.
Oh my god. That's,
you remember that?
I do remember that.
You could make choices in that interactive drama based on like what you clicked on in the environment. But you have to be fast about it. Like, it would keep on moving, but you would make your choices by reacting to something or interacting with something that you wanted to use. And it was cool. And Erica works a lot like that the same way, except you use your phone to do it because, you know, it's modern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't play it because you're still interacting with, like, graphics and stuff like that. Like, for instance, I believe there's one moment in Erica where the main character is crying. And you can do multiple things, but one of the things you can do is, using your phone, wipe the tear off her face. I don't know what that does, but you can apparently wipe the tear off her face with your phone screen. So, good time. Okay. Good time.
Interesting.
good time.
All right.
But I really like the idea of interactive dramas. I think there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do with interactive drama. There's a lot of replay possibilities, you know, if you implement it correctly and things like that. And there's been a couple of Hidden Agenda was another one for PS4, another interactive drama that was cool. I listened to a playthrough of that one. I'm guilty because I couldn't one... help it. With the cops. There was...
No, well, there was one that I was kind of interested in checking out, and then I went to buy it, and it had gotten pulled from the store.
Oh, I don't think it's been pulled.
Kind of upset about it. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that one. It was a different one.
Okay. Well, yeah. So interactive drama. There's another interactive drama called Night Shift. The thing is, I like them all in concept because I think there's a lot of potential in interactive drama, but none of the games I'm talking about are playable by the blind.
Yeah.
None of them. Yep. And it wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't be hard with interactive drama, guys. It wouldn't be hard at all.
Mm-mm.
Come on, man. but anyway, As Dusk Falls is another one of these, and so I can't help but like the idea because I like this kind of game, but
yep,
probably not going to be playable. Same reason I like the Dark Pictures stuff and Until Dawn is they're essentially interactive dramas. Although Dark Pictures and Until Dawn are much more gameplay, not gameplay heavy. Isn't the right word because there's still not a lot of gameplay, but there's much more gameplay in the games that oh my god, what's the developer? Supermassive Games. There's much more gameplay in the games they make than there is in the typical interactive drama. Like typical interactive drama is you wait, you watch, you eventually make a choice of some kind, then you move on and make another one later.
Yeah.
Until Dawn and the Dark Pictures games, you do watch a lot, but you also move around, you can have optional conversations, you know, there's more gameplay there. But it's still mostly interactive drama. So it's like they're different, but they're kind of similar. But I like those games too, because again, a lot of potential, a lot of you know, your choices matter in those games. So that's really cool. I like it. Now I just want a playable one. Okay. Okay. Moving on. Hellblade 2. I don't really know what to say about Hellblade 2 because we already knew it was coming out. You know, it's a known quantity. We know it's a launch title. That's another thing they can bank on too, because Ninja Theory, fantastic developer. I mean, Ninja Theory made Hellblade 1, obviously. But one thing that we know and love them for is Heavenly Sword.
Yep.
So, fantastic developer. Microsoft can probably bank on Hellblade 2 being good for launch. Oh, yeah. I would wager that.
So, I mean, there's a reason they bought them.
Yeah, right. There has to be some reason they bought them. Yeah, I don't know. Hellblade was kind of cool.
Yep.
That's probably going to be a good game, but there's not a lot to say about it because we already knew it was happening, and I don't know. The trailer of Hellblade 2 didn't really tell me anything new, in my opinion. It didn't show me anything more.
I mean, we know it takes place in Iceland now, apparently.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's really about it.
Yeah, pretty much. But then there was a really, really cool segment, which announced to us Psychonauts 2.
That was neat.
Psychonauts.
I like this. Oh, this is so good.
Yeah. Psychonauts was already is already kind of a cult classic. Like it has a huge fan base of gamers that remember it from the past. And I believe it was out for the original Xbox. Is that right? I think it is.
Xbox
I think it was.
And PS2.
PS2? Okay. I thought it was just Xbox, but cool. Cult following, known for being a quirky, kind of hilarious game. But also, for its time, apparently rather open world, as far as I understand it, for the time. And now we have Psychonauts 2 being announced by not only the creators, Double Fine, but also by a wonderful musical number performed by Jack Black.
Yep.
And why not? Because we all know Double Fine is a big friend of Jack Black's, because Double Fine did Brutal Legend with Jack Black. Brutal Legend is amazing. It's something else, man. I love it.
If you're a metal fan, check out Brutal Legend. If you have even a passing interest in the like an old school like 80s metal.
Yeah, it's like required.
It's amazing.
It's required. If you're a metal fan and a gamer, Brutal Legend is a requirement.
Yep. It's so
as simple
good.
As that.
I mean, you have Lemmy healing you with the power of just bass, and that's freaking awesome. Lemmy.
Yeah, Lemmy. There's loads of rock stars in that game. Loads of them. Some of them doing cameo voices, some of them doing major roles.
Is Ozzy in it?
Ozzy is the merchant. Ozzy is your RPG merchant.
I love that.
It's so good.
I want to watch a playthrough of that again.
I remember one of the things that that reviews talked about when they heard Ozzy in the game was like something strange is happening. In this game, you can actually understand what Ozzy is saying.
Ozzy's coherent? What is this?
Yeah. It's like they coached him to speak properly or something. I don't know.
It makes sense. Like, if you put a script in front of Ozzy, he's probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
But if you let him just go off the cuff is when he's just like...
He mumbles a lot. He mumbles a bit. But yeah, Brutal Legend is great. They got Jack Black to do a musical number for Psychonauts 2. I kind of wonder, because Double Fine does like Jack Black. I kind of wonder if he's going to be in the game, too. I kind of wouldn't be surprised.
Would imagine. It kind of seemed like he was doing a voice for a character.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I mean, he did Broken Age. Is that what it's called? Broken Age?
Yeah, Broken Age.
The point-and-click style game that Double Fine did. Yep. He's in that. So is Jennifer Hale. Jennifer Hale's cool. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jack Black is a character in Psychonauts 2. But that announcement came with much Twitter applause from
typical awesome Jack Black. I like how it even before the song, it actually showed him going to record it.
Yep.
Like, who wrote this? Like, oh, Peter. All right, awesome, man. Looking forward to recording it, and then he goes to record it, and so good.
Yep. All right. So the next thing I wrote down was the following: Destiny 2, insane, freaking, crazy, insanity, ridiculous, insanity is insane.
Yep.
I wrote that for a reason. I wrote that for a reason, folks. Trust me on this. Here we go. Destiny 2, as you all well, not everyone will know, but Destiny fans and gamer probably in general know. Destiny 2.
I see Destiny 2, and my first thought is immediately turns to Misty, because that's like her game right now.
It really is her game. She was playing it this morning again. It's all good, though. It's all good. I'm glad she had a game like that, personally. But Destiny 2, as some of you know, is going to be releasing an expansion in the coming months. I believe they had to push it to November. It was supposed to be September, but COVID. So, good times. Destiny 2 is going to be releasing an expansion. Here's the thing. Here's where it gets crazy. So, first of all, we get a new trailer for that expansion, which is cool because it shows you a new class of Guardian you can choose, which is kind of neat. You can, like, use ice and freeze things and shatter them, and it's cool. And that sounds fun, right? Yeah, it's cool and really cool. So then they say the following things. Destiny 2 and every expansion, the full collection, available on Game Pass.
Yep.
The full collection. On Xbox.
Damn.
You don't have to buy the expansion.
Nope.
The full collection.
That's crazy.
I guess Bungie has decided we have taken enough money from you. I guess we'll just let you have this one. I don't know. But if that's not enough, they also use Destiny 2 and the full collection, mind you. They also use Destiny 2 to introduce the collaboration or integration, really, of Game Pass and xCloud. So,
yep.
If you have Game Pass,
you have xCloud.
You're going to have xCloud, and that's kind of a news item that we kind of found out about a little bit before this, that they're integrating. But if you have Game Pass,
people are calling this the Stadia killer. I've heard people call
honestly
the Stadia killer.
If they can provide decent low latency, it probably will.
Mm-hmm.
It very well might.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Which is unfortunate, but
I still think Stadia could have a place in the cloud gaming market, but they have to.
I'm very curious what the latency is going to be like, though.
Yeah. So I actually have heard even the negative reviewers. So, and this is just so far, mind you. Keep in mind, xCloud is still technically in beta right now. But I have heard that the negative Stadia reviewers still admit that currently Stadia has better latency than xCloud does.
Mm.
So.
Okay. Well, there you go.
There you go for now. But xCloud's still being in beta. Who knows? Maybe they're going to beef it up right before the Xbox Series X launches. I don't know. But currently, apparently, Stadia is better in terms of latency. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I feel like Sega could still have its place. It's still a possibility. But yeah. So if you have Game Pass, when the expansion comes out and this update goes live, which I assume the integration between xCloud and Game Pass is going to go live probably around the same time the Series X launches.
Yep.
So if you have Game Pass at that time, you can play Destiny 2, the full collection, on your cell phone.
That's just insane.
Misty turned to me when we saw this, and she said, Brandon, I'm sorry.
You're never going to see her again, dude.
That's what she said.
You're never going to see her again.
It's like, well, let's head up and get ready to go to bed. Okay, sure. I'm going to bring my phone up. No, don't bring your phone up. Don't bring your phone up.
No, I'm not going to be able to talk to
you. If you do, you'll just play more Destiny 2. I know, that's the point. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be something, man. Just one of many games. Because it's apparently going to fully integrate. So if I understand this correctly, you'll be able to play any Game Pass game on your freaking cell phone, brah.
That is crazy.
That means
Killer positive Instinct on itself.
Yeah, I was going to say, positive for blind people. I can play Killer Instinct wherever I am. Cool.
All right. Don't think that would work all that well, but it's cool.
I mean, probably not, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give it its due. Starlock, you want to fight me, bro? Fight? Go.
Fight their phones.
Yeah, let's go, bro. All right.
And then we had Seagaw.
Seagaw.
The Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis, which essentially is Phantasy Star Online 3.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. It is basically the revamp of the whole of the whole thing.
So, interesting kind of story with this is I actually watched this thing twice.
Really?
Conference twice.
Oh, okay.
Because I watched it the first time. It was like the GameSpot stream of it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And
oh, so you watched it without audio description first.
I watched it originally without audio description.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this Phantasy Star thing came up and I was like, it didn't say what it was, obviously, like allowed. And I'm like hearing the music, what is this like JRPG sounding coolness? Like this sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And then so after I got done watching, I actually went back and rewatched the entire conference with audio description. And
you're like,
then I found out, like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Phantasy Star Online was, like, one of the first MMOs, wasn't it? Like,
it debuted on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, back in the day. Back in the day, man. Well, right along
I think it came out. It may have predated EverQuest, or it came out around the same time.
Did it predate Ultima, though? I don't know. I wonder which came first.
They may have come out around the same time period.
Yeah, it could have. I don't know. Interesting. But Phantasy Star Online, it's still alive. It's happening. And I've actually forgot to write it down in my file
it
here.
It took PSO2 like 15 years to get released in the US.
Oh man.
It didn't get released until like a year or two ago. And I think it's still an Xbox console exclusive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even know that.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow. So I actually didn't write that one down because I remember why. Because that is right around the time that we got food while we were watching the show.
Yes.
And I was like, so what I was trying to do, I was trying really hard to keep everything I was watching in memory, and I was going to write it down after I was done.
I think that is literally the only thing that wasn't in the list. So you actually
did really. Oh, dang it. Dang it. Still, I forgot one. I like that man.
I still love that. Seagar.
it's like a requirement now. If you're going to do an audio described event, you have to have something from Seagar.
Seagar.
Can someone just tell the guy, I immediately was just like, no,
it's Sega.
Can someone just say, hey man, listen up. Look, you're doing a really good job, and I just want to tell you, it's Sega. So can you just? I want to very politely just go up to him and say, you know, you're doing great. You really are.
Yep.
Oh man. All right. Next up, Stalkers 2. The thing is, I approached this franchise from a huge lack of knowledge.
I know nothing about this game either. So about
I
the
know
series.
That Stalkers 1 has something to do with Chernobyl and stuff. But
apparently,
apparently
people really like it. I've heard people talk about it and
how
good it is.
And that's great. I just don't know really anything about it. So Stalkers 2. If you know what Stalkers is all about and you like Stalkers, well, guess what? It's coming out. So, let's see. No release date on that. Next up was something that made Misty very happy. there's going to be a new Tetris Effect game. And not only that, it's called Tetris Effect Connect.
Yep.
And not Connect, but Connect. No, Connect. Thank God. The Xbox has officially... finally abolish the Kinect. They have officially announced the Xbox Series X will not come with a Kinect, nor will it support a Kinect. So
Tetris Effect is cool because I think that was a game that she showed off last year to Jen and I.
Yes. And, yes, it is.
Oh man, that game is so good.
Tetris Effect is really, really just cool and creative and awesome in the way that it works. And that's why she fell in love with it.
And she's so chill.
That's why she fell in love with it, but I fell in love with it because of the way the music is so dynamic and it's just it builds and builds and it's so cool, man.
Yep.
Tetris Effect is great. And now it's multiplayer.
Yay!
So you too, except if you're blind, can play Tetris. Tetris Effect. In a group of, I think they said three, or I don't know if it was three or four at a time.
Oh, an accessible Tetris game, dang it.
I can imagine how it would work.
Yeah.
It's doable if you're really fast, but it's doable. So multiplayer Tetris Effect, great idea. I mean, I don't know why the first one wasn't multiplayer.
It just seems like a natural thing that you would have had in there from the outset, but I don't know.
I mean, it's going to work. People are going
to... Maybe they saw how well Tetris 99 did, and they're like, ooh, we need to do that.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. And the thing, you know what's funny? I was about to say, it's going to work. People are going to buy it. Then there's like, it's going to work. People are going to play it on Game Pass.
Yeah. Yes.
Because, you know, it's going to be on Game Pass.
So,
that's happening. No release date for that either. The Medium.
This looked cool. This looked freaking cool.
The Medium sounds amazing.
Dude, but, I got serious Freddy Krueger vibes from this.
Oh, yeah. The dream world and stuff. Oh,
so
definitely,
good.
Dude.
Not only that, but just the way whoever the antagonist is, like the way they speak.
Yeah.
Like, yep, they're totally Freddy Krueger. Like,
yeah, kind of, yeah.
That kind of tells me, like, this probably started life as a Nightmare on Elm Street game, and they just couldn't get the license to it.
It could have been. It very well could have been. I could definitely see that.
Regardless, that looks so good.
Here's the thing that comes to my mind, though. So, as we already know, none of these things, literally none of them, are Xbox Series X exclusives. None of them.
Yeah.
Every single thing in this lineup is going to run on both the Series X and the Xbox One.
Yep.
Now, one of the big draw of the Medium, which is really cool, by the way, like conceptually, it's really, really cool, is that two worlds will be rendered at the same time. You will be able to travel instantaneously between one and the other. You'll be able to, you know, one is like our world, and one is like a dark, evil world of doom and death. And that sounds conceptually really cool. But also...
How are you going to render those both at the same time?
The way my mind went is very processor heavy.
Yeah.
So, like, how are they going to make that work on the Xbox One X? Even the Xbox One X.
Yeah.
I mean, on the Series X, I could see it because, again, just like on PS5, you have the solid state to back you up. And you can even, like, you can hold, not only can you hold on to more, just use some of the memory as basically effectively RAM.
Yeah.
So you can just hold on to it. You can also load in assets super quick on a solid state drive.
I have an original Xbox One model, like, from, you know, 2014. And, yeah, I don't think it's going to run very well on that. Just going to say, just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I don't think it will either.
I just don't see it.
Like, this game sounds, first of all, the audio is also really, really great.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
So, full credit to that, to the team building it. But I feel like this game, and I hate to say it because I know what Microsoft's strategy is, but I feel like this game really should have been a Series X exclusive. Yep. Utilize the full power of the new console to make this game as good as it could have been, and it's not going to, and that's really sad because the game still has to run on the older consoles.
I feel like
it's
that's not going to be designed.
Yeah, it's not going to be designed to work like it should on the Series X.
They've come out and said like, these games won't be compromised, but you know they're going to be.
They're going to be because...
They're going to be. How can they not be?
You're not going to make an alternate version of a game. You're going to make the same game and make it run on multiple consoles.
Right.
Which means you're going to design around those concepts.
Yeah, and that's also putting resources that could go into optimization for next-gen consoles. I don't know. It just seems like a kind of dumb...
Yeah, it feels wrong.
It felt wrong back then. Especially, it still feels wrong.
Especially now, like, getting this trailer. Like, now it just feels even more wrong.
Now that we know, like, how, like, the potential of how good these games look, it's just like, well, how
we're
much
starting
better
to see,
could these look?
Right, we're starting to see the ambition the teams have, and now we're going to see it not fully realized because they can't.
If they didn't have to budget
cater
resources
to
towards making things run on the older hardware.
Yep.
I don't know. I just think that's a bad move.
This could have been a great game. Could have been. I mean, don't get me wrong. It will probably still will be a great game. But will it really pull off?
How apparent will the compromises be?
Yeah, like
is what I'm curious about.
What I'm imagining is, and you know, this might not affect the audio, but it might affect the audio. Who knows? But what I'm imagining is, like, you switch worlds and pop, 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 pop in of all the textures trying to populate, you know? Just, I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope it's good. I don't know what else to say.
It looks from the trailer, man, from, like, conceptually, it looks so good.
Yeah, I'm really...
Perfect Halloween game.
Conceptually, I'm super down with it.
Yeah,
like, I want to hear more.
Perfect Halloween playthrough kind of game. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I just hope they pull it off.
Like, if you're a Nightmare on Elm Street Nightmare on Elm Street fan, this is your bag right here.
Yeah. All right. So, moving on from that, the next thing was one more thing kind of announcement, and it was indeed, as was rumored, just before the show, there was rumors floating around. It was indeed a brand new Fable game coming out from Playground Games. Yep. And the reason I specified in the writing that it was coming from Playground Games is because I thought it was necessary to mention the fact that it is not the original developers making this new game. It's not Lionhead. Lionhead has been, I don't think they were like abolished. I think they were like consumed. Like they were folded in. I think is the term. You know, so the people from Lionhead still work for Microsoft. I think, but
maybe this will be a better Fable game without Peter Molyneux's
right.
Influence.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that what they've done is taken the Fable universe and done this without Peter Molyneux, because Peter Molyneux just does not.
Peter Molyneux is a great ideas man, but he can't execute.
He cannot follow through. It's been proven.
He's like
time and
he's
time again
never been able to execute a good game. Not once. I would argue that.
Well,
I guess the original Fable.
Black and White. Fable. Black and White's good.
Oh yeah, I like Black and White. Yeah.
It's old, but it's good.
What's that cube game that he did? He did like this cube thing where like
cube thing.
Yeah, it was like
I remember that.
You remember that where like it was like a contest?
I remember. Yeah, I remember and, like, that.
And like the person that like chipped away at the so basically what this was it was this cube that you would chip away at like little by little, like teeny tiny piece, and it was like a collaborative effort. And everybody was working to basically chip away all of this massive giant like cube.
Yep.
And there was like a contest type deal where like the person who like registered the last little like piece of the cube would win like some prize. I don't remember what the guy.
I think it was $1 million. I think it was $1 million. I think it was $1 million.
But yeah, that was. I remember that like being kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I vaguely. I remember Milo. Milo is the one that stands out to me the most. The one that never ever happened.
The Kinect demo.
The Kinect experience. Yeah.
People were so upset about that.
Because it was so cool.
It was cool.
Like, it could have changed the perception of the Kinect. Yeah. It could have.
Yeah.
But never happened. Because Peter Molyneux overpromises all the time. Yeah.
Yep. And we don't know anything about this new Fable game other than, okay, new Fable.
It exists, and that's cool.
Hopefully, without Peter Molyneux's meddling, it can actually be the game that it should be.
Yeah, I mean, if the team is allowed to expand in their own way, not to try to placate Peter Molyneux, then it could be something great.
And I don't know how much control he has over the Fable IP, if any.
I don't know if he has any because
that's probably it's probably a Microsoft thing.
Yeah, I think Microsoft officially owns that IP. I don't think he owns it. I think he may have. I think he was the original creator, I believe, but I don't think he retains any rights to it now.
Yeah.
He's not involved.
The hype. Do you remember the hype train?
Oh God! Oh yeah.
It was the first Fable game. It was unreal.
If you get a wound, you're able to see it exactly where it appears on your character. And then it'll affect you in different ways. And then if you do really good things, your character will change so much. And If you cut a blade of grass, and then over the course of several days, you can watch it regrow in the same spot that you cut it. My God!
Just the marketing around the first Fable was just like,
none of that stuff is in the first Fable.
No.
And by the way, for those who are really curious, the good and bad system in the first Fable is totally busted. Totally busted. If you're when you're a kid in the first Fable, if you break one thing, like one vase, by accident. Then everyone in town says how terrible of a child you are. But then, if you do one good deed to make up for that, everyone in town says how great of a child you are.
There's no balance.
His supposed good and evil system is totally busted in that game.
Yeah.
Oh man, I think it got better though. I think over the series 2 and 3, I think it got better. But still, it was never, ever what Peter Molyneux promised
it would be. Like a weird on rails game too, like Fable the Journey or something.
Fable Journey. Did that ever get released? I don't know if it actually did.
No,
it was a Kinect game.
That's a good question. It was a Kinect game. That's right.
Yeah, because you could actually throw the fireballs if you're a mage and stuff.
I think it did, but I think it just.
I don't remember.
I think it just had so little fanfare that it was just like nobody cared.
Yeah, the only good thing it had
because
was
because nobody
the,
used Kinect.
You're right. The only good thing it had was the original Fable narrator voice, which is good. I actually really like the Fable narrator voice.
And he came back for this new one too.
Oh, you know what? Really? Wait, are we thinking the same? I'm talking about the person that narrates the actual game, like in the game, not the trailer narrator.
The
female that narrates the
game. Oh, okay.
Journey, gotcha. Journey had that too. I don't know if it was released, but it had that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, here's hoping. I'm all for it if Playground can make a good game out of it, but I don't know enough about them as a development team to really say.
There's just so much unknown apart from, here's this thing, it exists.
I guess all I will say is if Microsoft is trusting them with the IP, then they must believe they can make a good game out of it, so let's see. Yeah. You know,
that's a pretty big...
I mean...
It's a pretty big IP to give them, so...
True. And again, this is where the Microsoft strategy works, okay? Right here. Either way, it's coming to Game Pass, so when it comes out, we can all just try it anyway and see what we think.
Yeah. It's like you're literally losing nothing by just trying it.
Yep, which is I can tell you what, blind people wish that we had that a long time ago, like years ago.
Oh my god, yeah, no kidding. Like, yep. The amount, oh my god, if this existed like in the PS1/PS2 days, oh, dude.
Yep, that would have been great, but it does not, it did not.
Yep.
And that was actually how they wrapped up the show, which was a good way to wrap up.
It's a good way to end it.
So
pretty big franchise to end with. Yeah, Fable.
Yeah. So conclusions on the show is really, really, honestly, it's not an Xbox Series X show. It was a Game Pass show.
It was Game Pass.
It's a Game Pass show.
Game Pass all the way. They weren't selling you the Xbox Series X. I still think that's a stupid name, but
yep, they're selling you Game Pass, essentially. Yep. And xCloud, which will be integrated into Game Pass. So, but that said, if you look at it that way, like if you're willing to accept that that's what it was a good show. I mean,
it's so valuable. Well. Yeah. It's so valuable. Like, it's unreal. Like, just the God, I'm turning into DSP with repeating my words, but instead of ludicrous, I'm saying unreal. But
no, it was really good though. It was really good.
It was good. It was, yeah.
Game Pass is a great service. No denying it. I don't care if you're a PS4 fanboy. Game Pass freaking rules. Okay. Yeah.
And there's a lot of value there for the price of it.
And it's going to rule harder. And they're not increasing the price anymore.
Yeah.
Like it's about to rule a bunch more, and they're not increasing the price at all. So. Yep. What can I say? Pretty awesome.
Sure.
Okay. I'm in. Yep.
Yep.
So if you look at it as what it is, a Game Pass show, it was a great show.
Yeah.
Bring on all those games. We'll give them a shot. What the heck? Why not? We have Game Pass.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's what that is. The last thing I wanted to cover is some additional Xbox news. And this is the thing I was going to talk about last week that I forgot that I knew I'd remember later.
And you remembered it like an hour Sherlock. after you published the podcast. Yep. You're like, dang it, I remembered.
I messaged Sherlock right after we published the podcast, about an hour after I published the podcast. I said, dang it, I remembered what it was. I knew I would too. Yep. And yep, I did. So I wrote it down this time. So here it is. Last week, Xbox announced that, and this apparently has already happened, this has already begun, before the launch of the Xbox One Series X, they are discontinuing manufacture of the Xbox One X. Their current most powerful console is being discontinued right now in preparation for the launch of the Series X.
So weird. You would think you would wait until after.
A couple things. Like, this struck me really off when I first heard it. Because I disagree with it personally.
Yeah.
Because
terrible decision.
Because to me, it
why not make that your budget console? Like sell it for like $150.
Right. Well, that seems like a smart thing to do. But to me, it seems like a really anti-consumer maneuver.
Yeah. Why now? Like before
I think I can tell you why now. I just don't like why now.
Well, I know why now. They want you to go out and buy.
It's like, yeah. So like, so they're barely marketing the Series X at all. Essentially, like,
yeah.
They're not giving you reasons to buy the Series X. Except, oh, by the way, this one. Now, if you don't already have an Xbox One or an Xbox One X, you can't get one. Right. Now you can only get a Series X. Ha, ha, ha.
Which, that's really shady, and I don't... it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like it.
Yeah, it struck me as really I don't like off. It. Right away. Like, I don't like this at all.
It's not... It's, like, I don't know, man. Microsoft's doing... Microsoft is being really bizarre this generation. It's off-putting.
You, Microsoft, are the ones who have said that all these games are going to work on Xbox One, Xbox One X, anyway. That you're not pushing the next generation of consoles too hard because you don't need to, because all these games will run no matter what console you have.
And then you contradict that with pulling the... I don't know, that's so weird.
Like, your method of selling the Series X is not to market it at all. It is simply to remove all other options.
Yeah.
like, what?
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems really scummy and just, ugh.
And it's like, it's so weird with them because they're doing both good and bad things on the other side of the coin. Like, if you want me to talk about briefly something they're doing well, they do have a neat program that exists where you can basically get the Xbox Series X before it even launches. Like, you can sign up for this program today if you want to, and basically pay forward for a Series X.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
But still, like, this doesn't ring well in my ears. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, they're getting cocky the way, like, Sony got cocky and the way they got cocky at the beginning of this generation too in 2013. Like, they're getting cocky again, and I think it's going to bite them.
Yeah. I mean, the Game Pass strategy is going to work for them. They're not going to...
Game Pass is great. We don't dispute that, but, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Their console strategies are weird.
Yeah, because of Game Pass, they'll be technically fine, but this isn't a good idea, and I think it's just more. I don't know. it's more reason why I'll keep my Xbox One that I have. I will get a PS5.
Yep.
I'll keep my Game Pass subscription.
I'm pretty much already just like, I'm just going to get a PS5, and that's that.
That's that. Yep. I get it.
Between the Mixer thing and this stuff, I'm just like, yeah, okay. Easy decision.
Like, I already have everything I need. I don't need anything else.
Yep.
Except PS5, because I really want one. But they've made me want one. That's the difference.
Right.
Like...
Sony's doing the correct marketing thing. They're actually selling you on the console itself, not the...
Right.
I mean, yeah, they're selling you on the games too, but like they're giving you reasons by hyping the games that, like, oh yeah, like you can only play these on the PS5.
Yep.
That's
and how because you of market. Because of the discussion of the PS5 and how good the PS5 specs are and how fast the SSD is and all that stuff, I want to play those games on the PS5. Yep. And I want to hear the PS5's 3D audio.
Yeah. You're sold on this. You're not only sold on the games, you want to see what the system can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all about that.
That's good marketing.
Yeah. That's the way you do it, man. That's the way you do it right there. But anyway, that's my rant about Xbox for the day. yeah. I'm actually surprised I forgot that last week. Because that was like,
yeah, it was kind of a big...
all the way.
Yeah.
It is kind of big. It's kind of big, and I just forgot it because we just got swept up in everything else. But that's why we're writing things down now. Yay!
Yes.
So that's that. Let's see. In terms of accessibility news, I don't have much to say. The Veil demo happened. I tried it, and it's the same demo.
It's the same.
Yeah. I think it might have slightly cleaner audio, but maybe I'm just imagining things. I don't know.
There's a new accessible Steam game called Prosperity.
Is it accessible?
Yeah,
is it
apparently
actually accessible?
Yes.
Oh, I heard people saying that it might be, but like the last person I heard talk about it wasn't sure if it was or not.
There's some there's some labeling, like there's some stuff that's not labeled super clearly, but the developer has already apparently stated that he's gonna work on that. So
okay, well, nice. All right. Oh, I have to give that a shot. You know, when I get my freaking laptop back.
Yeah. Yep. Which, yeah, we don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah, because they had ordered new parts for it. The bottom casing, which that's so bottom weird. Casing.
A bottom case and like
the bottom
two
casing
fans?
And two fans.
Like, what happened to your laptop? What the
I
heck?
Don't know.
You
I
didn't
don't
even.
Know.
You.
It,
I don't know.
It was never like, dropped. It yeah, was never like mishandled.
It's not like you were like, particularly rough on it.
No, like, it wasn't, like, bent in a noticeable way. Like, the bottom casing didn't feel like it was bent or broken in any way. So everything that happened must have been internal. Whatever it was.
Probably, you know, it might have been, like, heat damage or something. To, I guess. Like, the internals. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't think they're lying to us because they have no reason to try to screw us over because we're still under warranty. So we don't pay anything for this.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, but
yeah, it's
whatever,
not like
man.
You're trying to get more money out of you because you're not
right because we're not paying for this anyway. So I don't know.
That's
but
real.
I don't have my laptop back yet. We're waiting for those parts to come in, so hopefully,
yikes.
You know, that'll happen sometime in the next year.
Yeah. Jeez.
Let's see. Our buddy Chaosbringer is working on a accessible Slay the Spire mod of his own called Say the Spire.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cool, I think, because he's taking a different approach, which I think is fine. Like, I like having multiple options. I guess
yeah, there's like three of them now.
There's three?
Yeah, there's that one. There's
I know about Texas Fire already, but
there's also Inspire.
Huh. I hadn't heard of that one. But I like, you know, I'm cool with all the approaches that have been taken. Well, I don't know about Inspire, but Texas Fire is a very typing based approach. I know that Chaosbringer's approach with Say the Spire is going to be very UI-based, where he basically is just making it so we can use the menu
of
the game.
Which I think I will prefer that method.
I think I probably will.
I don't mind typing, but like it'd be cool to play the game more the way that normal, like everybody else plays it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's,
I say normal
well,
people,
closely,
but
although most of the people click, use the mouse, but
true.
But you know. It's true. We're still
but
it's still
using
kind of
menus and using menus instead of typing everything.
Yeah, yeah. I think I kind of agree with that. But yeah,
so feeling a little more streamlined.
Last update from him is he's got a lot of bug fixing to do, but he said it's working. It's a work in progress, but it's going to work theoretically. So looking forward to that.
I mean, we know he can make good stuff. So
yeah, TCTS man, all the way.
Yep.
Also. I guess I'll mention this here again, because why not? Well, because there is an update on it too, so might as well mention it. So my anniversary stream is coming up, and I've already talked about what it's going to be. It's going to be the survival run of Last of Us 2, which is going to be freaking great. Because one of the things I will be doing that day, I will be increasing the amount of action breakers that can be used, because it is a big marathon stream, so you can interfere with my survival run many, many more times.
Yep.
So that'll be fun. But the big update is it's happening on Friday, next Friday. Not this coming Friday. Not the Friday of this episode of the podcast, but this next Friday, August 7th. So the actual day, my anniversary day of streaming is the August 6th. But we're not celebrating that day because, number one, it's typically my day off. Number two, even if we wanted to switch it to that day, Missy has an appointment that day. So we decided to just move it to Friday. So we're going to celebrate it on Friday.
Yeah, it's close enough.
It's close enough, and it will be, as per usual with those streams, an all-day freaking stream. All freaking day. All day. Streaming Last of Us 2, Survive.
It'd be kind of neat if you, like, made it to, like, Abby.
Oh, my God.
By the end.
Yeah.
I don't know, the way you went through Hard Plus, you've basically beaten Hard Plus already.
Yeah, it's practically over. It's practically
you basically
over.
Have just a tiny, little, teeny, tiny section left, and you're done.
Yep, I'm in the last encounter before the big one, I think.
Yep.
So, yeah. That freaking encounter, though. Can't believe it kept dying. Right at the end of the stream. Well, I guess I'm finishing the game today.
You got really far, and then...
I did.
Just, nope, clicker.
I know! It was so... You know what? I shouldn't have said anything. No. That's what it was.
No, it wasn't clickers. Anything. You kept getting shotgunned.
I know. But it was so weird, though. Because I shouldn't have said anything. Because I was... When we first got to the Rattler camp, I was doing super well. Like, the first Rattler encounter, I zipped through that thing. Second one, no problem. I was like, man, I'm doing really well against these Rattlers. And then I get to this encounter, and now I keep dying.
Let's play with curse.
I shouldn't have said anything. But that's that's basically all I have for the day. I don't really have anything else planned.
I don't have anything either. So,
but like I said, mostly an Xbox show, which is fine because that, like I said, it was a good show, and the Xbox dominated the week pretty much this past week. So,
yep,
good stuff. So I guess that's going to do it. Thank you guys for listening, as always. And as you know, again, as always, we love doing the show every week. It's a part of the week we look forward to. It's fun. It's something, you know, we're just having conversation essentially, and you guys are enjoying it right along with us because you're listening to the show. Hopefully, as always, we do appreciate feedback, comments, questions. Get a hold of us. You can do so from breakdownwalls.net. All our contact information is up there. If you want to do that, you can send a voice message from the show page of whatever platform you're using. There is a button to do so. You can support the podcast if you so choose. Again, fully optional, but you can support the podcast with a $5 donation, monthly donation. It is, of course, super duper optional, but I just want to throw that out there in case someone wants to do that. It's just something to you know, if you really appreciate the content, it's just an option. You can, there's a button on the, again, in the show notes for that too, if you want to do that. But again, super optional. We don't need it. It's fine. other than that, thanks for listening. Check out breakdownwalls.net. Again, you can listen to the podcast directly from there and learn about the Breakdown Walls crew, join our Discord server, and so on and so forth. And that's going to do it. For now, I'm Super Blind Man, a.k.a. Brandon Cole. He is Sturlock, a.k.a. Sturlock. Also, oh yes, for the clickers out there, he's... And that's going to be episode 51. We'll see you guys next week.